blitzing number one. We're finally becoming a blitzing team. If you paid attention last year, we probably blitzed. Oh yeah, that's right, we did. But no, I'm joking.
From our studios in Inwood, Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
And
good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Welcome to another Cheesehead Nation production. We are Wednesday Night Live. I'm Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, my esteemed partner at Cheesehead Nation, Cheesehead TV, Corey Banky.
Good evening, everyone. Tonight, we'll take a look at today's activities at practice, discuss a certain ex-Packers quarterback, and in what can only be described as a thrill and an honor, we'll be speaking with Packers cornerback Joe Porter, live right here on our program.
Here at Cheesehead
Nation.
Stick
around.
But to start off with, we'll talk about, obviously, OTAs.
OTAs.
Practice open yet again today for reporters and the public. And the big news, I guess the headline would be Nick Collins shows up.
Nick Collins.
Interesting. After Anthony Smith gets a little pub both here on this very program and a little Tom Pelissero article. All of a sudden, Nick Collins. There he is.
Nick Collins. Welcome to practice.
Of course, the word is that he was there, the warm-ups, walked through, and then went in, did some rehab, did some working out, probably got the once-over from the doctors, see what kind of shape he's in. They asked McCarthy about it.
Never will be. I'm not a traitor.
Wait, who's that?
Never will be.
Oh, no.
I'm not a traitor.
Wait.
Never will be.
Who is that?
I'm not a traitor.
Who's not a traitor?
Never will be.
Wait.
This is Corey's new toy.
I'm not a traitor.
What?
Never will be.
What, Brett?
I'm not a traitor.
I'm sorry, what?
Never will be.
What?
I'm not a traitor.
I'm sorry.
Never will be.
Can you tell Corey's having a little fun with Mr. Favre?
Oh, that makes me so happy. I mean, it doesn't really. It makes me really depressed.
I was going to say, I can't imagine that makes you happy.
It helped me release a little bit of anger. That's the happiness.
There's more of that coming. That releasing of the anger. So
yeah.
I would get ready.
Were there any comments about that, actually? Do people like that?
Well, it just happened. So let's see this instant age. No.
Oh.
Alex said, ha ha. So that's good.
There you go.
We know Favre was on television Monday evening. We will talk about it a little bit later in the show. But again, back to the current team. Packers OTAs, Nick Collins shows up. The install will be over tomorrow for both the offense and the defense. I find that interesting, especially on the defensive side of the ball. McCarthy was talking about how he's really happy and they've going to have the whole defense installed by tomorrow.
Oh.
I find that two things. I find that really impressive and really scary. I also worry that the entire install will be done tomorrow. And Nick Collins has been there for three practices.
Nick Collins, welcome to practice.
But tonight, we are talking to Joe Porter.
Joe Porter.
A cornerback for the Green Bay Packers. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, I have dreamed... I'm talking dreams since I was a little boy of interviewing any member of the Green Bay Packers.
That's true. The towel boy.
It's going to happen tonight. Of course, we have diehards here, so everybody knows who Joe Porter is.
Yes.
But I just think it's great. I mean, his story is amazing. I mean, amazing. So we're going to get into that in a little bit. But first, back to the business at hand. Practice today. A bunch of things to go over. Obviously, there was Nick Collins, which we just talked about. Interestingly, after his good showing last week, Patrick Lee still running behind Will Blackman at corner. Al Harris wasn't there, but Williams obviously moves up across from Woodson. And Pat Lee still running number four, I guess. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I just think that Blackman really kind of, I don't know, he showed that he doesn't have the ball skills and the ability to locate the ball when he's matched up in man. Now, maybe this switch in schemes, the fact that he's going to be looking at the quarterback a whole lot more, a lot of the zone concepts like Tom talked about last week, maybe that helps Blackman. Maybe it's the coaches see something there.
I think Blackman's going to have I think he's going to have four returns for a touchdown this year.
Wow. But four. That'll double his total last year, I believe.
Yeah.
Both of which were against the Vikings. He'll are we playing the Vikings more this year?
Yeah, I hope so. Especially if. Easy. Is somebody going to be playing for the Vikings this year? Should we go to that segment? We've got a little bit of maybe we'll get shut down. Should we play that now?
Go ahead.
Should we?
You know you want to.
I really want to.
Ladies and gentlemen, Corey Behnke at his finest.
All right, here we go. Let's play this. This is from Joe Buck Live
in Green Bay. And if you run onto the field at Lambeau wearing a purple number 4 on your chest, I mean, that's a knee to the gut to people in Green Bay.
You think?
I don't know what to tell them. Vince Lombardi went to the Washington Redskins when he left. Mm. His name's on the trophy. That's what we give that trophy out every year. I don't hear too many people say, that damn traitor, he went to Washington. Now, time heals a lot of things. And I have nothing. I mean, I have nothing but the highest regards for Green Bay. And I mean that sincerely. Did some things happen there that that may have ruffled the feathers for both sides? Yes. But once again, the 16 years I spent there, you can't take away. I wouldn't change it for anything in the world. And they chose to go in a different direction, and that's okay. I chose to play again, and that's okay.
Oh.
Wow.
Good gracious.
Not a traitor? Never
no,
will be.
Stop it.
I'm not a
stop
traitor.
It. He's not even a Packer
never
anymore.
Will be.
I don't want to
I'm
hear
not
from
a
him
traitor.
Anymore.
Never will be. I'm not a traitor. Never will be.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have no control. Corey has the controls.
I'm sorry.
I can't stop.
I'm sorry. I still can't believe it.
Oh,
I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
I know. Most of Packer Nation can't believe
I'm
it.
I'm in denial, okay? If I have to be the guy who's in denial, fine. But I'm going to play that until he's a Viking. And then when he's a Viking, I'm going to play it more. You're going to get so sick of that?
going to. Oh, goodness gracious. As Brandon said, we're already off the Blackman versus Lee debate. No, Brandon, we're not. Ladies and gentlemen, speaking of which, Brandon in the house
tonight
from Acme Packing Company. A nomination, mind you, a nominated site for a Titletown Award
2009.
Last year. Brandon.
Oh no!
What's up?
Oh no!
We emailed you.
Yeah, I did.
We wrote about you on our blog.
I emailed you. I emailed you a acceptance letter.
Nothing. Nothing from this guy, and he has the fucking balls to come on our show tonight as a panelist.
Oh no!
Never having once acknowledged the fact that we nominated him for a title title.
Maybe we should go back to Brett.
No. No. Brandon, that's right. It's just an honor to be nominated.
That's right.
That's
right.
All we wanted. That's all we were looking for, right?
That's all you were looking for right now.
That's true. That's true.
Hey, I was looking for it too, so, you
there
know,
we go.
It's
so,
nice.
But no, Brandon, but to your point, Blackman versus Lee, I'm all about Lee. I think Lee has got the skills. It's funny, last week Tom Pelissero said that Lee really jumped out at him, and I think he said he was a little surprised about it. He wrote that he was surprised. When he was doing his practice updates, I said last year, you can search the blog, I saw him at family night blanketing Donald Driver. Mm. I'm talking blanketing Driver.
That was a long time ago.
That was last year, his very first action at Lambeau as a rookie. And the kid did not back down. And I saw everything then that I needed to see as far as his talent. Now, everything else he puts together, the mental side of the game, you know, sticking with it, doing the coaches say, week in, week out, the consistency, that's something that has yet to be answered. But as far as physical skills, this kid has got it. He's absolutely got it. So, we'll see. It's that time.
Oh, yeah. It's that time in the show.
It is that time. Joe, are you on the line?
Hey,
Joe. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Porter.
Joe Porter.
Joe, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah.
Joe, how was practice for you today?
Practice today, it was pretty hot, you know, as it can be for the time of year in Green Bay. That's about 75 degrees, I believe. But it was good. You know, we got a lot accomplished. Got some more insulation in for our defense. Got some special teams working. So, and, you know, it's always a plus when you give it. We were able to beat the offense to a pulp. So that's what we did today. So it was a good day.
Well, nice. Yeah, the defense stopped him in the 2-minute drill as well. That was always good to see. Speaking of, you said some special teams work. I gotta say, I was checking you out. Your game action last year against the Bears, very nice. You were on kickoff coverage and kickoff return, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I still play there. I was playing on the punt return team, so it was a good experience for my first game.
I can't even imagine how exciting that must have been. First game, Monday Night Football. Be honest. Were there just insane butterflies leading up to that game?
Oh man, I mean it was just unbelievable. You're playing in Chicago, you know, the biggest rivalry there is. It's negative 100 degrees. You know, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful night. You know what I mean? You know, I wish we, you know, obviously would have won the game, but
for my first
game, it was phenomenal.
I got to ask, on the big return, the 70-yarder up the middle, when the returner dragged Jarrett Bush for like 20 yards, did you guys give him heck on that in film study the next day?
we didn't really kid him too much, you know what I mean? after a loss, it's always tough, but I mean, I personally made sure JB got a couple extra pushups that week.
Very good. Retribution. I like it. Hey, you know, I was reading earlier this week, you've done a few interviews with Brian, one of our partners over at Railbird Central. And I guess probably a lot of people don't know, it's incredible. And I hope you don't mind me going here, but you had your father pass away literally when you were first, you know, coming into the NFL, and you found out about it while you were at camp, and you went to practice the next day. And to me, that's incredible for a guy like you who, you know, isn't put up on, you know, national television every week like someone, say, like Brett Favre is. We all saw him go through that in a very public way, but you did it, and you just went to practice the next day, and obviously there's nothing written about it. There's no TV coverage. To me, that says two things. A, what the sport means to you, and B, how much it obviously probably meant to your dad. Can you talk about that a little bit? I mean, I found that fascinating.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, the thing is that, you know, when you have circumstances or tragedies or, you know, what have you in your life, they can either, you know, break you down or make you stronger. My old man had been sick for about 2 years or so, it wasn't completely, you know, unexpected. But, I mean, when they called me the night before, or rather, like, you know, probably 2 a.m, and, you know, told me what happened, I mean, it definitely broke me down, and you know, I was very emotional, and you know, just going through it. But my father always taught me to be strong, and just taught me to, you know, try to be a tough guy, you know. But,
right.
And so I was able to, you know, I couldn't really block it out, but
right.
You know, I would just think that he wouldn't want me to lose a step. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And this might sound crazy or something like that, but I never really felt like he was gone. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously physically and, you know, like that, but, you know, emotionally, psychologically, I always felt like he was with me. So I didn't want to, you know, lose a step. And I felt like that was the best. He would want me to practice, you know, at a high level. So I tried to do that.
And I'm sure you did. I mean, like I said, it's a real inspiration to Packer fans everywhere. And I just wanted to shed a little light on it. Just because I said, you know, like I said, I mean, this is a real, it's a job and it's a life and it's a lot of things that people probably don't take into account when they're looking down depth charts and watching games on Sunday and they see guys on the sideline. There's stories to everybody. And I found that particularly incredible. And I salute you. Later on, I read a little bit something about how, you know, especially last year after Nick Barnett got hurt, the Packers didn't make a move to the roster. And you were there, you were on the practice squad, and they didn't move. And you know, you didn't get, maybe you got frustrated, obviously. It's got to be frustrating knowing that you're there and you can help the team and they've got an extra spot, but they're doing nothing to move it. Did you ever talk to, like, anybody, like Nick or any of the other players or the coaches and say, hey, you got this extra spot, I'm here, you know, I'm ready? Or did you just kind of wait your turn?
I would always kind of joke around with, you know, Matt Klein or, you know what I mean, Reggie McKenzie and be like, you know,
right.
Tell my cell phone number, you know what I mean? My number is, you know, 555, you know, whatever. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Guys, don't really call me. Just put a little letter in my locker, you know what I mean? But I just felt like if I stay humble, if I kept working on practice squad, you know, just playing every position they wanted me to play, you know, practice squad, being a scout team guy for the week, or, you know, whatever it had me do, then I knew eventually, you know, things would work out. You know what I mean? I know the Packers are a very loyal organization, you know, there to, you know, build guys up, you know, through the ranks and stuff like that. And I just felt like if I kept working, you know, and at practice and, you know, do what I could do, I'd be in there. But I definitely did try to, you know, drop some hints that I was there, you know, I'm ready to move on up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wasn't outright blunt with it, but I definitely, you know, made my feelings known.
Well, very good. Well, you got to keep that up.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of getting some notice here, you know, now that you guys are doing the OTAs, you got a whole new defense that you're installing. Tell us a little bit about the transition. Obviously, you were there last year running the scout team, but you were also there for, you know, regular 53. So you've been immersed in probably doing scout team, doing the Packers defense last year under Sanders. This year, a lot has been made about how complicated the defense is, how much communication is going on in both and everywhere in the defensive backfield, the linebackers. What to you has been the biggest adjustment?
Everything about the defense, man. I mean, every single thing. I mean, every play, literally every single play. Everybody on the defense has to make some kind of communication. Last year was more of a, you know, we were in 4-3, obviously, with man-to-man for every play. You know, one guy could kind of be on a different page, and, you know, it wouldn't ruin the defense.
Right.
The 3-4 is probably more like a jigsaw puzzle. Like, all pieces have to fit, or it won't match it. Like, it won't look like. If one guy's even a tiny bit out of place, there's like, it messes everybody else up. You know what I mean? Like, there's a glaring hole in the defense. 3-4 is very confusing and it's very complicated, but it's effective. You know what I mean?
Because
there's different things going on, different moves, different stunts, you know, different packages we got going on, and you never know where it's coming from. You know what I mean? But it is very tough to learn, you know?
Not that you would ever give anything away, but I gotta know. I have a copy of Dom Capers' defensive playbook from when he was the head coach with the Panthers.
Oh no, here we go.
I just gotta ask, does he still have the magic front in his package there? Does he have anything called the magic front, the magic sword, or has that been totally changed?
The magic front? No, I've never...
Nothing like that. All right. So he's obviously changed.
There's no magic trick going on this year.
Very good.
That was Bob Sanders' defense. Magic tricks.
Magic tricks. Good Lord. Speaking of Sanders and him leaving and the entire staff leaving, you're working with the cornerbacks. You're working with Joe Witt Jr. now? Is he your main position coach?
Yeah, Joe Witt, yeah. He was our assistant defensive coach last year, and then, you know, promoted him this year.
And what is he like to work with? What kind of guy is he? Is he a yeller and a screamer? Is he a teacher? No.
Definitely not. You know what I mean? I think even Charles and Al are older than him. You know what I mean? So he's definitely one of the guys. You know, being a player before, he's a player's coach, but he's very, very, extremely detailed. He works very hard on, you know, on the playbook and, you know, at the opposition. So with Joe, there's never anything that's left a chance. He knows everything that's going on, and to make sure you know, he makes sure that you know it, that his players understand it. He's not lazy even in the slightest bit with everything, his detail. So definitely a student of the game.
Excellent. Definitely. Excellent. And I just got to ask, because Corey and I were at FanFest, and we saw Winston Moss's presentation
about
the 3-4 defense. Is he always just intense, like, no matter what he's doing? Because he was signing autographs afterwards, and he was like, thank you very much. Thank you very much, young man. Yes, of course, I will visit Cheesehead TV. Like, he was just very intense. Is he like that all the time?
One more time.
Is Winston Moss always intense at everything?
Always, 100%, 100%. He. I know he played 100%. He coaches 100%. He's full of energy. Even when he's coaching, he's stretching like he's warming up or something. I'm not sure what he's warming up for, but he's stretching and he's warming the calves up and he's doing the whole thing. I'm not sure what he's getting ready for. Ready to coach, but he is intense.
offense.
It's funny because it's not really like an outright exuberant kind of thing. Like he's not a yellow screamer,
right?
But he wants to win badly.
Yeah, oh yeah, you could tell that. No doubt. Joe, thanks so much for joining us tonight. One last question before we let you go. What are your predictions? What's the defense going to rank, and what's the Packers' record going to be?
Oh, man.
Okay, all right. The defense will be number one. The Packers will be numero uno.
Oh, that's what we'd like to hear.
He knows he's playing to a bunch of diehards. There
he
we
knows
go.
He's got the diehards on the phone. Come on.
Joe, thank you so much
thank
for joining us.
Thank you so much. You are our first official Packer
Anytime.
Player on our show. It's amazing.
We are humbled. We are honored. Thank you so much. And good luck throughout mini camp and training camp. And good luck in 2009.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Have a good night.
Joe Porter.
Joe Porter, ladies and gentlemen.
That was the... Okay, let's just take a second.
Okay. Let's drink that in, shall
let's
we?
Let's just take a moment.
Wait, Corey. Okay. Let's drink that
let's
in,
cheers.
Shall we?
Look, on our Cheesehead TV mug.
Salud.
Wait, we need the full...
Just don't spill over the computer.
Yeah, that would be bad. We have too many things.
Salud. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Our first ever Packer player. First of many to come.
Oh, hopefully. I already drank. Sorry, I'll drink again.
No, it's not.
Okay, here's what I want to say about Joe Porter. Just really quick. Joe right. Porter, thank you so much for coming in the show. I know you're not watching anymore because you actually have a life. But I will say thank you very much for coming on the show. In May 2007, okay, Aaron and I started Cheesehead TV, and now it has ballooned into Cheesehead Nation.
It has.
And now
we're interviewing players.
And now, look, I thought it was a big deal when we were interviewing Brian. I remember doing the podcast going, dude, man, if we could get Railbird Central guy on,
dude,
that would be
cool,
awesome, man.
And now we work with Brian. Well, as I mentioned earlier, Brandon from Acme Packing Company is here.
Brandon.
He's a panelist tonight. Say hi. Visit Acme Packing Company. It's an excellent blog. As we said, we nominated it for a title of town. We don't screw around here at Cheesehead TV.
Do you know who else is here?
Who else?
Brett.
Oh, no. A traitor. Don't do it.
Never will be. I'm not a traitor.
Wait,
never
what?
Will be. I'm
what,
not
Brett?
A traitor.
What?
Never will be.
Wait,
I'm
what?
Not a traitor.
Huh?
Never will be.
I'm sorry, what? Okay, I'm sorry. I had to do that.
As long as it's
okay,
on
that
your
was Joe Porter. Sorry, that whatever. I'm sorry, on demand people, because you just saw something weird. But
okay, so let's get back. Topic du jour.
Wait, but Brett's not a
today.
Traitor. Just so you know, Brett is not a traitor. Okay,
he can't stop.
I can't get over it.
I'm trying to talk about practice today. We're talking about practice.
Wait, all does right. anybody else? Was anybody else like besides you? Okay,
all right.
I know you said that Joe Buck didn't do a good job last night, and I will agree with that, okay? But let's talk about that for a second, because that happened last night, okay?
No, it happened Monday night.
Well, whatever. It seems right. like last night to me, okay?
Because you've been watching it all
day. You know why? Because I was recording it last night, so I could get it to loop to our fans, okay?
I hear you.
So, that was a terrible interview, I thought.
I agree.
That answered none of my questions as a Packer fan.
Well, he only
and
got to the
thing.
Question that anyone wanted answered at the end,
okay,
and he
here's
totally skipped over it.
It's not good enough. Okay, it's not good enough to just say, oh, my 16 years you can't take away from. Okay, that's not good enough. It's not.
I agree.
That's all I have to say about that.
Well,
for the
that's
moment.
Not all you have to say about
for the
it.
Moment.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I want to point something out here right now. This is what we call a script. All right, I type it out. I'm at work. I could get fired. But I'm no. I am diehard. I'm dedicated. So what do? I type up my little script. I put it up on our little Google group so everyone can have one. Corey gets it. He prints it out. He reads it. He sees that Favre is at
never
the
will
end.
Be. I'm not a traitor.
Exactly.
Never will be.
Exactly. Favre
never
is in the last
be.
Segment. But no. We've now had Favre in the first segment. We've had him in the second segment. And you better believe we'd be having him in the third segment. Just had to vent a little frustration
Look,
there.
Okay, all I have to say.
Right.
And
right.
this is not, that wasn't true what I just said. Because that's not all I have to say, clearly. Mm-hmm. But, okay. I almost pulled the podcast we did. Remember the Brett Favre tribute podcast
we
did?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. We did a Brett Favre tribute podcast. This thing's got... It's amazing. Okay?
It is. It's emotional.
Okay. That's 16 years, okay?
Yeah.
And I I'm going to throw up if I keep thinking about Brett Favre in a Vikings uniform. And if anybody cheers in Lambeau Field when he walks in the on the field, I'm going to be so mad. I'm going to be mad. Like, in a, I don't think mad in a way I've never felt before.
Yeah, I can agree with that. You sure that's it? Well, you should save some, because we got to talk about it in the third segment. We don't want to break the... I'm gonna break the chain here. Can we talk about practice today?
Can we talk about how Joe Buck isn't very good at what
he
does?
No, no, no. We'll talk about that in the third segment.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's all right. We'll go back to practice now for just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
I don't want to bore you, but we're gonna talk about the guys who are Packers now.
But here's the thing about Favre. I'm not just talking about this because this gives us like thousands of traffic. Because obviously, when we write about Favre, when you write about Favre, writes about Favre, it's all about like SEO traffic or whatever. Okay. I'm not talking about it for that. This is serious crap now, okay? When he went to the Jets, the whole thing was you had to go to a non-division team, and it had to be outside of the conference. That was my whole thing. And you know who gave that to us?
Ted Thompson,
okay? So in my book, Ted Thompson is more... Well, I'm going to be quiet.
We can move on. You were going to say something you were going to regret.
I was going to say something that everyone was going to make fun of me for. I was going to say something like Bobby O'Shea making a rap video that hates on Favre.
Right.
The same thing that people said to Bobby. So, Bobby, hey. I'm almost there, bro.
Bobby, I just want to say, Bobby has a new video up that you can feel free to link to, Bobby, if you got it up somewhere.
Yeah.
Bobby's joining us tonight. Bobby O'Shea is in the live blog. I hear tell... There's another video. I haven't seen it yet. But
I haven't seen it. I hope he's not rapping in it, though.
I hear he's rapping.
Oh, no.
Okay, so practice. I am going to talk about practice. Today's OTA practice, if it kills me. All right.
All right.
Brett Swain is impressing. Who wants to talk about Brett Favre when Brett Swain is hauling in everything that's thrown to him? I mean, okay, we can talk about Brett. We'll talk about Brett Swain. How you like that?
I like it. But you know what that reminded me of?
Oh, God.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Here's what that reminded me of.
Oh, no.
Old bag of donuts. I guess we'll save that for Packer Blogosphere.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
I'm backing away. Back to Brett Swain. Okay.
We can go wherever you want to go.
We should do a poll. Who thinks... Wait, where...
They already have, I'm sure.
They have?
I don't know.
Who should... Where will Brett Swain end up in the wide receiver rotation?
Oh, I don't know if that poll's been done. I think... Practice squad has
the poll done on whether I should go to an insane asylum?
No, it has not.
That's coming up.
I'm sure that's on the docket.
Okay, let me. I really want to talk about old bag of donuts because that whole top greatest players thing.
Yeah.
Is a crock of crap. Okay.
Oh no.
It's a crock of crap.
Oh no.
Crock of crap.
If anyone doesn't know what Corey is referring to. Old Bag of Donuts, which is a great Packer blog. I highly recommend it.
It is. It's good until he wrote that. Until he wrote all five parts of that.
Chris, over at the old Packer Bag of Donuts blog, recently did his top 12, nay, really 14, Packer players of all time. Should I spoil it? Should I tell him who's number one?
I guess. Apparently, if you haven't figured out by now,
It's Brett Favre.
Yeah,
is who Chris puts as the
okay.
Oh boy,
not okay. Seriously, Brett Favre is not the greatest Packer ever. Okay, there is no argument. Find a diehard that understands that the Packers were created in 1919. So if there's not somebody on the team from 1919 that's on the greatest, okay, maybe 1921. Oh, what about Johnny Blood? What about like 1932? Okay, I'll take that. If there's not somebody in the top 10 from that team, then you are full of garbage.
You got that? Love it. I love it.
Do you agree?
I totally agree.
How is the greatest player on that team that's over, it's almost 100 years old in 2019? It's unfathomable.
He lost me when you put James Lofton as an honorable mention.
What's the live blog doing right now? Are they just, has everybody left?
They're talking about Brett Swain.
Yeah.
Because they're diehards. They're talking about the Packers.
They're like, who cares with this guy?
Jersey Pack fan nails it. Don Hudson.
Thank you
very much.
Well, he had Don Hudson was three on his. I don't
have
his list.
He was three or
right
two,
here.
But there's like no question.
No. And how do you put star? Okay, how do you
yeah,
put...
no.
How
no.
do you not have star 1-2?
Right.
Either one or two.
Star and Hudson.
You can't
and
have...
And then, how do you not have star above Favre? I don't know. Oh, anyway.
You have to have anyway. Star above Favre. You cannot to. Not you have star above Favre. It's impossible. There's no logic that works.
I agree. Now, was he physically as gifted? No.
No, but that's not the greatest Packers of all time.
I agree.
Greatest
Packers. I'm with you. We're here.
Greatest Packers.
We're here. Cover it live. Our live blog is somewhere over here, but we're here.
Okay.
Our watchers out there, they're over here, but we
they're
are
bored.
Here.
They're bored right
they
now.
They are bored, probably.
I'm sorry for that.
No, but here. I find it really difficult to get back to the practice stuff now.
I know, I'm sorry.
Since we're talking big picture. No, it's all right. I will give you this. Speaking of Packer blogs, Donald's designated driver, who is that is a dude who blogs and prefers to remain nameless. He enjoys the anonymity.
I know his name.
Of his gig. So do I, but we're not going to say it.
No, I'm not.
His blog.
I won't say it.
He's got all kinds of time, allkindsoftime.blogger.com. Or wherever it is. He's had a fantastic series of posts up over at his blog, taking apart what he entitles the Favre myth. I highly recommend it. He's two parts in. I think he's got one or two parts to go. Just cannot miss reading. CD brings up a great point here. I think Kramer once said, we weren't the best players in the league, but we were the best team.
That's right.
Underlying team.
That's right.
Ever.
Listen.
And that's what I... Wait. I got to
okay.
say this.
Okay.
Now, this is what I think people miss about Ted Thompson. I really do. Like, they look at the Favre thing, you know, and they get all upset, and they doesn't sign the free agents, and blah, 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 blah. This guy, love him or hate him, is all about the team, about the Green Bay Packers. And I just... I am comforted in that fact. Now, does that cause him to do some stuff that, you know, is questionably takes heat for? Sure, yeah. But this guy was always about the team. He won't do anything that he thinks is going to harm the franchise.
In the long term.
In the long term. Oh, Doug, I know where you're going with that comment, so don't do it.
Hey,
so don't do it.
Because in the short term, he's sure to screw it up. He doesn't care.
No, that seems to be true. It seems
does.
To be true.
It does seem
you know,
to be true. That's true. That's not even me being a ranting lunatic.
I was thinking about this morning, about his selection of Matthews trading up in the first round. I thought of this because of something. Brian was putting together a really nice live blog today during practice. He had Tom Pelissero and Greg Bedard. He had their Twitter feeds feeding in, and people were commenting on them. And he pointed out that the first unit on kickoff coverage was a lot of defensive backs. And one of the reasons given by McCarthy when he switched to the 3-4, and a lot of people, you know, repeated this, is that, you know, switching to the 3-4 means that there were going to be a lot more linebackers on the team, and that would result in more linebackers on coverage on the special teams units.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to thinking, you know, I remember thinking that exact same thing, especially after the Super Bowl when the Steelers had a guy on special teams. He was a backup linebacker who just came down and just decimated somebody. I mean, it was great. And I remember thinking, gosh, I can't wait till we get all these great linebackers on kickoff coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got like Tremont Williams and Brandon Jackson on first team kickoff coverage. I hate that. I really hate that. And this is where I think Thompson is really... I mean, this isn't Thompson's job to put guys in the first team kickoff coverage. But, like, trading up for Matthews means that he neglected to get a whole slew of guys through the second and third rounds who could have been linebackers, athletic safeties, who could come on special teams and really make a difference.
I wish they
may not have started right away, but they would have definitely made an impact right away on special teams. And he traded that all the way to get Matthews, who by all accounts and looks seems to be, I mean, not a star, but a good role player.
I'll tell you this, though. Look, if Matthews is good at all, I don't care.
You're like, you see, he has control of the cameras, so he can like put the exclamation
like
point
that?
On his point.
But you know
just
what I'm saying?
Slamming
though?
The
seriously.
Thing.
If he's good, trade up. Trade up.
I
don't
I
care.
You.
Just
I
like
you
should have paid Mike Wall. Don't get me started.
That was last week.
Oh, yeah. That was like 2 weeks ago.
Speaking of Matthews, watch this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to get us back to today's practice.
Nice.
Speaking of Matthews, he practiced today.
Mm,
So he was there. He was running around. He was saying stuff. He was doing stuff. And I happened to have a little Matthews audio. They talked to him in the locker room afterwards, and they were asking about being a rookie and, you know, catching up after you've been hurt, and here's what he had to say.
You know, as a rookie, like I said, coming in here and, you know, having a little setback back there, it's frustrating, but at the same time, you're chomping at the big bit to get back. But, you know, a lot of the veterans will let you know not to push it because it could be something that lingers. But, you know, the training staff's been very smart with me, and they've been, progressively easing me in. So, you know, they did that last week, and, you know, here we are this week, and we'll go. So.
Well, so there he is, in his own words.
There he is.
They're being careful, and the word is that he will he'll be going all through minicamp, which I found a little surprising. Who won't be going through minicamp is everybody who had surgery in the offseason. Clifton, Giacomini, Jenkins, all those guys will be sitting next week. So it'll be interesting to see. Giacomini, will he still be the number one at right tackle when training camp opens after Alan Barber has been pulling the weight there? And TJ Lang, like I said, TJ Lang making some, his head's turn.
TJ Lang, the Sigmund Bloom pick of
Sigmund
the draft.
Sigmund Bloom, steal of the draft. And speaking of TJ Lang, McCarthy talked about TJ Lang today.
Oh, yeah?
And here's what he had to say.
Made some big steps since he's been here. He seems very natural playing either tackle or guard, and that's... That's something that we've had a number of players be able to come in here and do that at the offensive line position, and that's
the way you're able to go from the 53 to the 45 and be able to play on Sunday. So that's something that he has shown right away athletically. That there's days I thought he's a tackle, there's days I think he's a guard. So that's tells you about where his flexibility physically. So very, very happy with him. Meredith is, he's playing the toughest position, left tackle. It's a skill position. There's a lot to learn. He's getting great work, not only from the skill level of our pass rushers on defense, but the multiple looks that you're getting at that particular position. So he's...
And obviously there he's talking about Meredith at the end. TJ Lang, it could surprise. We'll see. I just... Someone's got to take that right tackle spot in the first week and a half, and they just got to go with it. I mean... I know Packer fans have got to be a little sick of hearing, oh, he could play tackle, he could play guard. We're done with that. We need five guys, right from the first month who play all year. You're right? And if someone gets hurt, we got to have someone who can fill in there at that singular position without moving a ton of guys around.
Yeah.
And McCarthy's addressed that.
No, you know what I think we need to do? We should just have a different starter every week for 6 weeks. Because that would be really helpful for the continuity.
I think we tried that last year, and I think we went 6-10.
Oh, that's right. That's deja vu I was having. I thought I was having a premonition.
No,
sorry.
No, sir, you were not.
Sorry.
Right tackle has got to get solidified, most definitely. And I just want to address something Jersey Al put down
Jersey
on the
Al.
Live blog. Jersey Al joining us.
Jersey Al.
Check out his blog. It's fantastic. He wrote, how do you know what Matthews is yet? And I think that was in
you don't.
Questioning what I just said about him being a very good role player. No, I don't know what he is yet. No one does. You're right. But looking at what he's done in college, looking at what he did, leading up to the draft, his entire career, that's what I think. I mean, that's what I project. I mean, that's what people
Jersey
do,
Al.
Right?
I still think he's going to be a sleeper. Okay. I think he's going to be the sleeper agent, right? And it's like nobody knew who he was. He's got the pedigree. He walks on. He's like the Rudy with the pedigree. I mean, that's what he is, right? He's Rudy with the pedigree.
That is exactly what he is.
With the story, you know what I'm saying?
If we ever have him on the show, let's not call him Rudy with the pedigree, though.
I'm not. Look, if we can get any other Packer player on the show, I'll be very surprised.
Hey, it's going to happen. This is just a start, Joe Porter. We were talking before the break about a wide receiver for the Packers, Mr. Greg Jennings.
Oh, yeah.
Who was asked over the weekend about last year's defense. And I was, to put it mildly, I blogged about this. I was a little surprised at how forthright, honest he was at first in his answer. And then you hear him backtrack. It's brilliant. Here's Greg Jennings on the 2008 Packer defense.
You notice the changes in defense. You're an offensive guy. What makes you say that?
Oh, man, the blitzing, number one. We're finally becoming a blitzing team.
if you paid attention last year, we probably blitzed. Oh yeah, that's right, we didn't. But no, no, I'm joking. Well, we blitz quite a bit last year. No, I'm not quite a bit. Very seldom did we blitz, and I think with the
defense will be a little more aggressive.
Yes, they will be tremendously more aggressive. I mean, they have been in the OTA practices. What they've been able to do in this short period of time is phenomenal.
Phenomenal. It's interesting. I'm on the blog, almost bar none, any player, you ask any player, especially on the offense, about the defense last year, and they'll say, yes, you know, we had our struggles there, but we struggled as a team.
Yeah, well, they have to do that.
Exactly. But
they can't,
yeah, but
they
Jennings
can't be like,
didn't.
You know what? Bob Sanders was a moron, and we couldn't stand working for him.
But that's the thing. Jennings totally just right there made fun of Sanders. I mean, like said, they never blitzed, and then you hear him totally backpedal.
We should have called him Bob KFC Sanders. I came up with all these funny names.
Oh, that's bad.
That would have been fun, like last year.
KFC. We just could have called him KFC.
What's up, KFC?
That'd have been unfortunate. I'm glad we never went there.
I would have went there.
I think you just did.
I would
it's
have.
Great.
Well, no, but there's a big difference in going there. Now,
I know, I hear you. Now,
and then going
after
there during the season.
Now we're just like kicking dirt on his grave. It's great.
It's harder, though. You know, when you get fancy guests, it's harder to put up with people like me on your show. You know?
Hardly.
That's where the dilemma is.
What do you mean on your show? It's your show.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, as our show gets
right,
more.
Right.
Like,
more viewers,
they're
going
to be like, you know
people.
What? I really like your show. I really like what you have to say, Aaron. But that freaking moron you have
on. No. Nothing like that.
That would be funny.
It'll never be that.
I would laugh,
never
though,
be like
if they
that.
Said that.
Yeah, well, and we go tell them to take a flying leap.
I want
to
be Chris Hovel times like 100.
Hey, someday. We keep going. We keep talking Packers.
I'm on my
we
way.
We keep talking Green Bay Packer football. It could happen.
It could.
We'll see. But ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get Corey all riled up.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, I've already been riled up.
I know, but this is where we go all the way. All right, so Corey.
Yes.
Brett Favre.
Oh, no.
Is all but assured.
Everything you need to know about Brett Favre can be summed up with this video.
A traitor.
Right there.
Never will be.
That's all you need to know about Brett Favre today.
Never will be. I'm not a traitor.
That's all you need to
know.
Never will
be.
Right there.
I'm not a traitor.
I just want you to know that Brian just threw up a poll. Asking, should we have a hot chick on instead of Corey?
Oh, well, I know the answer to that because listen, if we have a hot chick on, I'm going to be the reason we have it on because nobody hates watching white guys talk about football more than me.
See, I love watching white guys talk about football. That's just me. That's just me. I'm waiting for the poll to come around here.
Well,
see what the results are.
I can tell you what the answer is going to be.
But I know what the answer is, but I want to see what the percentage is. Because I want you to know I voted no. Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Coming into Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
Wearing Vikings purple.
Well, what's funny is I've kind of gotten over it now.
Oh, come on. No, you haven't.
I mean, I think Packer...
In the last 20 minutes?
No, in like the last five. It's like I put out all my energy.
All right.
Like in the first two segments, trying to disrupt your segments.
Right. Well, you did a good job.
That now I'm... I don't know.
You're all angered out?
I don't know. I don't think he will, dude. I think, honestly, I do not think he will play for the Vikings. And here's why. Because I don't think he's going to play for anybody.
No, no, I know. If he doesn't play the Vikings, he's not playing
because,
for anybody.
Because, seriously, you want to talk about laying the golden... goose egg last year? That was terrible. That was
the
worst season. Whatever happened to the Brett Favre? Whatever happened to the guy who was like, you know what? I don't want to go out like that. I don't want to be the guy that you have to tell, leave the game now, sir, because you're not a legend anymore. You were a legend, and now let us let you be one.
Right.
Okay. He said that. He said that for years.
Times.
How many
yes.
times have we seen a press conference where he said those very things?
I
don't want to be that guy. And now look at him. He's that guy. He's a joke of himself. I'm sorry. You cannot. You made $10 million a year, at least. Okay. And seriously, the only two teams that he cannot play for out of 32 teams, okay?
Right.
Are the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears. He could play for the Lions, and who would give a crap?
Nobody.
I would actually, you know what? If he played for the Lions, I would actually feel good for the Lions. I would be like, you know what, Lions? You deserve not sucking. Okay? But
oh, but wait. By Favre joining the Lions, you just said he's a shell of himself.
Well, no. What will happen is...
When they continue to suck?
No, they'll go 8-0.
Right.
And then all of... Or 8-4.
Right,
and
whatever.
Then all of a sudden,
they will
miss the playoffs.
Well, okay, here's I would guess, if I got a chance to talk to the man, what his counter to the whole, you laid a goose egg at the end of the year, you look terrible, it's time for you to hang him up.
Well, is his shoulders messed
up? Is his you know, arm/shoulder was hurt, and he's saying, I wanted to throw it here, I threw it, and it went over there.
He's going to be 40.
He is going to be 40. Warren Moon was 40, still playing in the league, and still looking pretty good. Not 40. Great, but looking pretty good. And Favre...
Yeah, but he didn't last year. He looked like Dookie.
Dude, but the middle of the season, when they were 8-3, he looked a little better than Dookie.
I have to admit.
Just a little bit.
I have to admit.
Just a little
bit. When I was watching the Jets the first three games, I was very excited. My dad bought me a Favre Jets jersey. But you know what?
Have you burned that yet?
Not yet, but I'm going to. I might do it on this show when he comes on this show. I dare him to come on this show.
Yeah, Brett.
I dare him.
You heard it here,
he doesn't care.
No.
He doesn't care about the 30 people. You know what? The 30 people watching the show are some of the most diehard Packer fans in the world. So if he doesn't come on the show, that would be a travesty. Look, if anybody cheers for him when he plays for the Vikings, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to personally, we'll do like a video of all the people who are Brett Favre fans.
Right.
And we'll be like, so why are you a Brett Favre fan? And just do like terrible things to them, like toilet paper their house or whatever.
Well, I would find very interesting, if you went and polled or somehow found out about all the people who not only participated in, but signed the petitions for... Yo, save Brett, or bringbrettback.net or whatever the heck it was.
Yeah.
If we've polled those people, how many of them would still be cheering for Favre as a Viking? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
You know, and how many of them at this point, after everything that's gone on, because I still get emails from people who say, because I have always said, my contention has always been, he played out last year knowing that he was going to retire again at the end of the year. He was going to let the Jets make their moves, and then he was going to ask to be released, knowing that the poison pill that the Packers put in the trade would be null and void once he was a free agent.
Yeah.
And then he could sign with the Vikings. This has been his plan since the day he got traded.
Well, and to be quite honest with you, the Jets don't care. They got their PSL
licenses.
They got Sanchez.
No, of course they don't care.
But all they care about is their personal seat licenses, which they were able to sell last year.
Absolutely.
To be honest with you, they had thousands of PSLs to sell, okay?
I know.
And how did they sell them? Brett Favre.
Dude,
they knew they were going to let him out of that.
Let me just tell you this. Brett Favre's first game ever as a New York Jet in the Meadowlands. I was there, all right? My wife and I went there. We're in the parking lot before the game, and people, you could not, I mean, Favre jerseys everywhere. I mean, that's all you saw, Favre jerseys. All right, so we go in, he does his thing, he throws a touchdown pass, like blah, 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 blah. You know, it was a preseason game, first game he's ever, 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 ever been in. So he gets pulled after two series, it's a preseason game, so it's time to go. I could care less about the Jets, and my wife's there and she doesn't really like
who cares
anything about the Packers, so it's time to go. So we leave, right? And as we're walking out, there's this guy, this diehard Jets fan with a Favre jersey on. This is out in the parking lot, like right by where, you know, car people are tailgating, blah blah blah. This guy is just wasted and he's like, hey, do you see Favre? Because we're in our Packer gear, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, I wore Aaron Rodgers stuff myself. And like, he's like, did you see Favre? I said, yeah, I saw Favre. He looked good.
I missed it.
He looked good. He's like, yeah, of course he looked good. And I said, well, yeah, no, he threw a touchdown pass. You missed it. And he said, well, of course he threw a touchdown pass. What do you expect him to do? He's the greatest quarterback ever.
He and old bag of donuts have something in common.
And then my wife said, my wife had to stop me because I really wanted to say to this guy, I was like, if he's the greatest quarterback ever and you're so happy to have him here, why are you in the parking lot getting drunk while he's in there throwing a touchdown pass? Now, not that this doesn't go on at Lambeau every
yeah,
week.
Yeah, I was about to say,
But it wasn't That's just true. Like, I was, but people at Lambeau are not belligerently yelling at people about how stupid they are for saying that Brett Favre threw a touchdown pass.
Look, Brett Favre and Jay Cutler have something in common, okay?
What's that?
Brett Favre, before he took a snap for the Jets, was the greatest quarterback to ever play for the Jets, okay? And just like Jay Cutler is the best quarterback to ever play for the Bears, and he hasn't even played for him yet.
But, okay, so we've meandered long enough. We've taken up enough of your time. Thank you so much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you to all our guests. Thank you to Joe Porter.
Thank
showing
you.
Showing up tonight.
Joe Porter.
Calling us on the phone.
Turning up the heat on Cheesehead Nation.
Amazing.
And that's not all. We have some surprises.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff.
Next week is going to be like the extravaganza blowout.
It's our blowout and then, end of minicamps show.
And then we're going to come back and we're going to hit training camp hard.
Yeah, we most certainly will be hitting training camp hard. So thanks so much for joining us tonight. Make sure you check out Railbird Central. Make sure you check out PackersLounge.com. Make sure you check out Acme Packing Company. They're
yes.
fantastic. Brandon, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for being here. And we'll check you all next week.
Next week, Thursday. See you later.